Some of my favourite films are fantasy adventures. And when I first put these two examples down, I forgot where I was preaching for a while. They were probably written only a few miles from here. One being The Hobbit, and one being The Lord of the Rings, the trilogies. They are not directly Christian stories, but J.R.R. Tolkien wrote them from a Christian point of view. And there's many quotes in them I could have used, but I picked out one and one from J.R. Tolkien himself. In The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, Gandalf says, "I find it as a small, everyday deed of ordinary folk that keeps the darkness at bay, small acts of kindness and love." And Tolkien himself often said, "The hobbits were the real heroes because they were small and humble. They inherit the earth," or in the stories, Middle Earth. Not being warriors, but by being faithful and gentle. I think we could probably, instead of say hobbit, say Christian. And I think these two quotes can help us to look at the Beatitudes in a new light. Perhaps a way of relating them to ourselves. It is the normal people. People like you and me. The everyday people who can live out the kingdom of God, as the Beatitude shows us, the way we should live. So it is the small and the unlikely are the ones that will create the kingdom of God. So as we come today to think once more about the Beatitudes, to think how they relate to us in our everyday lives, how we can use them to live for God and to build his kingdom. Although traditionally called the Sermon on the Mount, the chapters that cover from 5 to 7 in Matthew's Gospel do not contain just one single address, but many addresses across Jesus' teaching, that the writer has collected them together for the readers. Previously, Matthew has described how the news of Jesus' teaching and healing ministry has spread like wildfire throughout the country, drawing great crowds. And he uses this same phrase to close this collection of teachings. For Matthew's Jewish Christian audience, he's describing Jesus going up the mountain, and they would immediately call to mind Moses' ascent of Mount Sinai. Matthew draws a lot on parallels deliberately between both Moses and Jesus, bringing God's message to the people. But while in the Old Testament, God is with only his chosen messenger, Moses, in Matthew's Gospel, God is now with us. That is, all of us. So Matthew tells us, like Moses went up a mountain, so now does Jesus, to give the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, that is, blessings. Some Bible versions put the Beatitudes as happy are, rather than blessed are. But I feel that blessed fits better than simply being happy. A blessing comes from God rather than being happy with the situation that we find ourselves in. The Beatitudes we can divide into actually three recognisable sections. The first one is in the third person blessing. Blessed are they, consisting of promises to the suffering. The second section is the third person blessing, promising rewards to the virtuous. And the third is in the second person blessings, blessed are you, which is a promises to Jesus' followers. It could be said that Jesus could be giving them an ordination sermon to the disciples to prepare them for their ministry. Now, my Greek's not very good, I've got to admit. But I think the word is makios, which we translate to blessed, meaning the sense of God's favour towards action and the way of life described. Translations that use the word happy fail really to do justice to the meaning of text because it means much more. For these blessings, Jesus makes a point of singling out the kinds of people who seem to have no reason for hope in the world, however slight their hope in God is. The blessings promise more. They talk about the misfortunate, those who are suffering, and honour those with reward, and reward for the virtuous, those who suffer for the sake of righteousness and of Jesus. At the same time, the blessings are written in the past tense, present tense, rather than pointing to the future. They are re-establishing Jesus's earlier message that the kingdom of God has come close, and is now present in Jesus. Matthew was writing for a church under persecution, and his hearers would have welcomed his reassurance. Matthew offers his audience the assurance of God's blessing, even in situations of suffering and hardship. They call upon the people to remain faithful to the way of life laid down by God in the Old Testament. And as we've said, Matthew will often refer back to the Old Testament to show parables with the New Testament to demonstrate that Jesus is truly the Messiah and is shown by all the works that Jesus does in the New Testament. And so in a way, our place as Christians is certainly to spend time on the mount, as it were, listening to the words of Jesus, discussing them with our fellow believers. But we also need to be out in the thick of the crowd, talking to the people, sharing our faith. We even need to be standing next to the unruly group of listeners and telling them exactly what Jesus is saying. Blessed are they, and though engaging with them, we are helping people to understand what they might mean. Not least because there can be so much misinformation about what Jesus did and said. Part of the challenge of the Christian way of life is to share the wonderful, radical truth of Jesus by acting as storytellers, interpreters, and questioners, so that more people can experience with us what it means to be truly loved and fully human. With all that is going on in our world, with wars, fighting, civil unrest, natural disasters, we still need these blessings today. It has been said that the words of the Beatitudes are not so much about doing something. It's about letting go. Being poor in spirit invites us to let go of the need to be somebody. Those who mourn are invited to lay down their burden of pain. In turn, we are invited to let go of the need to be right. Of addiction to our own comfort and well-being. Of a need for revenge. Of a need to look good and of a need to win. Instead, we are called to rely on the grace of God to provide all that we need. Grace that will enable us to turn our focus away from ourselves and towards the needs and the concerns of others. We may not be as successful and complete in what we do as Jesus did. but we are invited to try. But we still ask ourselves, what is a blessing? Traditionally, it was believed that the rich, the fortunate, the elite were the blessed ones. They have been given wealth, power, and worldly success. Jesus, however, blesses all who come to him, or those who have given up hope in the world. And he offers a new hope through faith in him, extending the invitation to share in the heavenly kingdom is to the very least of all, us all. The Sermon on the Mount is about as radical as it gets. It is a challenge to everyone who hears it, not to go along with the world's understanding of success, but to look beyond, into the eternal. It gives a counter narrative, an invitation to follow a new and different path. If you like, an invitation to think outside the box. Often it is only thinking from a different perspective that a problem or challenge can be solved. We are encouraged to think from Jesus' perspective. In our reading from Micah, the prophet is focused on the economic injustice and God's call on his people to live in an ethical world. The prophet envisions God's taking legal action against Judah. He enlists creation as jury in this case, which is not a simple one. Namely, that God's people are not grateful for all that he has done for them, their history, and as a result, they are not listening and living as God requires the law given to Moses. So God retells Israel's history from the Exodus onwards, his history of failing to live up to their calling as a nation. But it also historically is marked by God's glorious acts of salvation for his people. They try to placate God through acts of worship, such as burnt offerings, as if it is what God wanted. And even worse of all, they even suggest their own children to be sacrificed, despite the Torah making it abundantly clear that this is an abomination to Yahweh. The oracle ends with one of the most well-known utterances from the prophets in verse 8. It has nothing to do with the external show of piety and anything to do with how we live. Doing justice and loving kindness is only fully possible if we walk humbly with our God. It is simple and yet difficult and demanding. Micah has already spelt out that justice has to do with everything, with the economic equality, where people have enough to live on, peace between neighbours, where nations do nothing to make their citizens afraid, and a relationship with God marked by humble trust. As a result of the chapter, it shows us Israel has fallen at every turn. Dishonest business dealings has enriched a few of the experience of the minority. Such an economic inequality is an abomination to God. Micah and Jesus, in their own way, called us to a lifestyle rooted in our relationship with God, which enables the value of God's kingdom in a way that brings justice, mercy, and peace into the lives of our neighbours. It is a simple call to desire. It is somewhat harder to live up when we see what it is God is calling us to do. But it comes with God's energy when we put it into practice. The saying of the Beatitudes are an invitation to live both in the now and the not yet. They call us to dwell in the tension that is created by the work of the kingdom, having been revealed in Jesus, but not yet having reached its conclusion, the fullness of time. But we are asked to live lives as if the world we wish we can bring closer. The new heaven and the new earth has already arrived. It is by doing so that it is really brought closer. Just as a baby that smiles encourages a smiling response to living in the kingdom with the kingdom values, we bring a kingdom response. So we are being challenged to look at the vulnerable, the difficulties and the challenges in the new way. Not as signs that we are far off from God, nor lacking in faith, but as if, in a way, pangs of birth can be the very birth pangs of the kingdom of heaven. It is not being strong and knowing everything that marks us out as disciples, but being open-hearted to those around us. Amen.